Good evening, everyone. Can we try that again? Good evening, everyone. It's good to see you. I told your preacher I'd do my very best not to split the church tonight. That'd be a good gift for Christmas, wouldn't it? Amen. Praise God. It's good to see you tonight, and good to be here and good to be back. We always enjoy coming here and visiting and spending time with, of course, our kids, and enjoy spending time with you folks. You folks are very dear to us. We believe it or not, we love you folks. We do. We pray for you folks in this ministry often. And we enjoy your friendship and enjoy the ministry and enjoy the ministry here. And of course, Hannah and the family are over somewhere on the other side of Atlanta, I guess. Where's that at, Brother Ball? Around Atlanta. Yeah, around the Atlanta area. So they're there, and so we'll spend a few days with John and Beth, and we took the kids today. We went to the military museum. I don't know. I love that place. I do. I love that museum, and it's done some changing since I've been there. And so, brother, good to see you. How you doing? And your wife came to visit us. Not just been had her mama. I thought she left you. I didn't know what happened, but. Good to see you today. We went to the museum. Bethany, they have simulators here. How many have ever done the simulators there? Bethany and I, we got on the Black Hawk. Man, we were shooting all the bad guys. Yeah, we were looting all the bad guys. We had a really good time on that. And then of course, it's hard to teach your grandchildren or children this age. We took them in the back of the museum and took them where they have the graduations. That's hallowed ground, you know. And it's hard to explain that to them. But I wanted them to walk on it anyway. Maybe one of these days, Dad will take them back out there and do hallowed ground part two. As they get a little bit older, and they can see that. And our military personnel, they're under a lot of pressure these days. Can you give an amen right there? And boy, we need to pray for them, our first responders and such. We appreciate them so very, very much. It's good to see, again, good to see you today. Where's Brother Lynn? Oh, there you are, way back here in the corner, way back here in the nosebleed section. And good to see him tonight. Brother Barry, where are you at with Miss? There they are. There. Where's the grandkids? Oh, there they are, right behind you. Amen. Oh, it's always good to see these dear folks. These are dear friends for most of you. Some of you may not know, but for several years, I came and I preached a revival over at the church. What was it called then? Columbus Independent Baptist. I preached a revival there for several years going. And then you all had a missionary here, Bob Ingram. And I got to know Brother Bob, and he got me connected on the base. I was able to speak a couple times on the base over there. And boy, that's how I got connected here, per se. Preached, as a matter of fact, when Brother, I think, wasn't Brother Almsball. Who was your pastor after Brother Almsball? I think I preached a chapel service here when he was the pastor here one day. And so that's my kind of connection here with your ministry. All right, everybody else, no, I want to get this out of the way. I just got to get this out of the way. Most of you know that I am a huge Alabama fan. Brother Henderson is a huge... It's been rough this year, hadn't it, Brother Henderson? Yeah. But once War Eagle, always War Eagle, right? Once Tide, always Tide. All right, now, you're a big Tide fan, aren't you? You wear your tie like every Sunday, win or lose, right? If you only wore it when they won, you know, you got to at least get, you know, anyway, it was a rough year. It was a rough year. Brother Barry is a huge, huge, huge dog fan. So I'm going to say this and just get it out of the way, because I'm an SEC fan. It's going to kill me. let go. Go dogs. I'm going to say that tonight, all right? Hopefully be the last time I have to say it for a while. Amen. And but that was rough. As a matter of fact, I'm losing my breath right now as we speak. Anyway, so I told my wife, I said, I can't believe as much as I give these folks around here sometimes, Brother Barry especially, and my son-in-law who's become one, whenever you guys are, and well, praise the Lord. Joshua chapter 1 tonight. Joshua chapter 1. Everybody have a good Christmas. Good Christmas. Brother Ball, what size buck was that? I saw you shot a buck this year. Where'd you get it at?
Backyard.
Backyard? I got a nice 16 point in my backyard years ago.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. He was nice. He was a nice one. He's in my garage right now. And he's not on the wall. But, yeah. And, I didn't get anything this year. I really spent more time bear hunting than I did deer hunting. And I had a really nice black bear coming in, but man, bear season came in and he disappeared. I mean, he just disappeared. So it is what it is. So I got to take Micah and Juliana hunting with me. Micah did real good. Fell asleep within about 20 minutes. You know, and Juju, she was playing her game. She was playing her game, and I said, "They're not coming in." She stands up and she says, "Hurry up and get here." Amen. All right. So that ended the hunt at that particular time. All right. Joshua chapter 1 tonight. Would you stand with me in reverence to God's word tonight? Again, thank you for being here tonight. And I again trust you all had a wonderful Christmas, and looking forward to a great new year for Grace Baptist Church. Amen. Looking for a great new year. And I've seen a little bit of your new property. I saw it before you got it. I've seen a little bit after you got it. And eventually, I'm sure I'll see it when it's done. And but I'm happy for you. I'm proud for you. I really am. And when the hand of God gets on a good ministry, whatever you do, can I tell you something? Don't mess it up. Just don't mess it up. You know, man. Dr. Harold Seitler years ago, I was sitting in his office and he made this statement to me. I asked him, could you give me some advice? And he said, I believe I can. He said, the first thing is, he says, stick with the book. And when he looked at me, he was talking about the old King James Bible. Just stick with the book. Number two, he said to me, he says, stick with your own kind. He says, you're an independent Baptist. Stay with independent Baptists and stick with your kind. And then he took his hand out of his suspenders and pointed at me and says, most of all, just stay out of God's way. I thought that was pretty good advice. Amen. That's really good. That's really good advice. And sometimes I have a little hard time with that. I don't know if you do sometimes, but I have a little bit of hard time with that on occasion. Joshua chapter 1. Now after the death of Moses, a servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses, for the wilderness, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee. All the days of thy life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee, and I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and be of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give to them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou shalt observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whatsoever thou goest. Now, our Heavenly Father, tonight, we take the next few moments and just, I don't want to prolong the message by no means tonight, but I surely want to give, Lord, what you want me to give tonight. I desire to say what you exactly want me to say and refrain from those which you do not. I pray that I could be a help and a blessing, an encouragement, a challenge to the church this evening. I pray that the Spirit of God, the sweet Holy Ghost of God, would work in a special way tonight in our lives. I pray that you would bless, as has already been prayed, if there'll be one here this evening, that knows not Christ, on this last service of the old year, Lord, may they come to Christ tonight. And then Christians that may be struggling in their own Christian way, in their own life, Lord, may they tonight just as best they can, all that they can, to get as right with you as they know how, in order to be able to usher in a new year with a clean slate. And I pray, God, that you'd bless tonight, you'd help us, challenge us, strengthen us, use me tonight for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Would you agree with me that this year has gone by fast? The older we get, the faster they go. Isn't that the case? The older we get, the faster they go. I remember just a few years ago, my wife and I were dating in college. You don't believe that at all. Hard to believe. This coming July, 40 years. We'll be married 40 years this coming July. And time just flies. I mean, it just goes by. I'm glad, however, that God doesn't give me a picture of month by month play or week by week play of what's happening. If you and I knew exactly what was going to happen this next year, it would probably scare most of us slap to death. We just, in our little finite minds, cannot comprehend what an infinite God has in store. But yet we do know that God makes no mistakes. And God has all things under control. We have in our story in Joshua chapter 1 tonight that the man of God, Moses at the age of 120, he is now ushered into heaven, and he turns the realm of leadership over to Joshua and Caleb, his faithful servant, with him, and they are there at the brink of the Jordan River, and they're getting ready to go into cross that Jordan River here in a little while, and they're going to cross over, and Joshua is, I think, a little bit nervous. He's been under, I think, Israel's greatest leader of its day. And I think that no doubt that the times of intimacy that maybe are not recorded in the scriptures, in that private conversation that maybe Joshua and Moses had, that the Spirit of God chose not to place into the book of Joshua, and those private conversations of maybe speaking about to Joshua regarding when I'm getting ready to leave, I'm getting ready to go to heaven, and now it's going to turn over to you. You're going to be the one responsible. I've given you all of these years, all of my time, all of my effort. I've given everything to you that I can possibly give to you to prepare you, excuse me, for this time in your life to take these dear people further than I was able to take them. And you know, tonight, we've been through a lot this past couple years. Would you agree with that? I hope we never go back to the days where our country was told to shut down. I hope we never go back to those days. I hope, I trust the Lord that we as people, as God's people, we would stand firm, stand up and say, ain't going back. I don't know about you, but I want to go forward. Anything beyond, anything back is a wrong direction. Everything forward is the right direction. You see. And Mom and I have been through some things this year and in our own lives and ministries and such. And we're thankful for every step of the way. We really are. We're thankful for every step that God has allowed us to take on His behalf and to do on His behalf, to serve on His behalf and accomplish on His behalf. But may I say to you that I'm just a firm believer that God's not done yet. Now, I don't know that we have another year left. I do not know. None of us can say that we do or that we don't. But we ought to plan every day as if the Lord Jesus Christ is coming today. But we ought to plan for the year that we have an entire year left. Maybe more, I don't know. I have no idea. I look at my grandkids and spending time with them. I think about the world that I grew up in and the world that they're growing up in. It's just not the same. It's just not the same. I remember those early years, and you know, when my daddy was a truck driver, and boy, we would do things together, and Mama, we'd do everything as a family for the most part, the best we could, and accomplish the things that he wanted to accomplish, and so on, and some of the things. Those were the days before cell phones. What did we do before cell phones? Tin cans, right? Hey, ma'am. The days before computers. How many remember that first DOS computer? Any of you older folks? The rest, for the you younger ones, you have to go to a museum. That old DOS system and so on, those computers that just, you know, and so on. And now you got computers the size of a cell phone, you know? And life has changed so much. And yet Joshua is in a position where life is getting ready to change, and he doesn't have Moses to back him up. He doesn't have Moses to say, hey, am I doing it right? He doesn't have Moses saying to him, looking at Moses and saying, what's the next step? What should I do next? All of us have probably had folks in our lives that we have been able to go to and to be able to get advice from and counsel from. And those very dear, dear folks have maybe some of those people that you know went home to be with the Lord this past year. I don't know. But that doesn't change the fact that 2023 is coming. And there's not a thing you can do about it. It's coming whether you like it or not. Amen. It's coming whether you like it or not. And I think about Joshua here, and I could break down this chapter if I could just briefly, but I'll come back and preach and give you a thought to that tonight the best I can to help you. And I was thinking about Joshua and what God is getting ready to do in Joshua's life and the life of the children of Israel. The kind of an idea is what is next? What is next? And that's been my thought for the last several weeks. Just what is next? What are we going to do next? What's going to happen next? What are our ministries going to do next? We live in a time where things aren't the same any longer. And we oftentimes have to think outside the box for ministry and reaching people for Christ. And we think, well, what's next? Well, I think Joshua, I think he could say that the challenge to continues next. I think he could say there's a commitment to remember is still next. The command to obey is still there. The crown that God has in store for us is still available. Amen. It's still available. I don't know what the Lord has in store for you this year. I have or what's coming up in your life. It could be a new ministry. It could be family situations. It could be a new job. It could be any multiple things that you step back and you think, what's next? It could be a year of sickness. I hope not. I trust the Lord. That's not the case on your behalf. I've got a dear, dear friend that I led the Lord many years ago. His name is Clayton. And Brother Clayton had two forms of cancer. And he had leukemia, two different types of leukemia. And he was sick with cancer the entire 2022, the entire time. And then he got out and he got it in remission and it came back and then it went back into remission and now it's got one of these type of cancers that it's fast moving, but it's one of those that are difficult, really hard to get rid of. I don't know what it's called. And excuse me. And he slipped and the cancer causes his bones to be real brittle. And this arm broke and he had to go in and have complete surgery on it. I'm 62. I think he's 64 or 65. But he has what I enjoyed about the other day. I was talking to his wife, who also has a shoulder problem, and between the two of them, they got two good arms. That's basically what they have. So she said the other day, she said, "Pastor, we got two good arms between the two of us." And I'm thinking about that, and I thought about on his behalf, what's next? What's next? He's been faithful. He loves the Lord. He loves his pastor. He loves his church. He loves his church family. When he got saved, I immediately pushed him into the bus ministry, and he loves bus kids. I mean, the guy just loves the Lord. He's a little rough around the edges a little bit, but you know, God uses all kinds of people and all kinds of backgrounds and all kinds of situations. You know, if we were all like you, we'd be pretty boring, wouldn't we? Amen. Yeah. That's why God makes everybody different, and our personalities are different. And God takes a bunch of imperfect people and puts them together and allows those imperfect people to perform a perfect work for God. It's unbelievable what God does. And I think about Brother Clayton the other day, his mom and I were talking to Kathy on the phone. I thought to myself, what's next? What's next? What possibly, how much more can he handle? That's what I was thinking. With every new adventure comes multiple thoughts, multiple questions, anxiety, and sometimes fear. It can also be a time, new time, a new day. A new day is dawning for the nation of Israel here. It can be a time of excitement because God is still in control. A time of great anticipation. What is God going to do next? A time of expectancy, as well as fulfilled dreams and visions. And we can talk about so much more that maybe they would be waiting for. I'm assuming that all of you probably have dreams and visions for this next year that you would like to see happen. You've got some things in your life that you'd like to accomplish, some things in your family you'd like to accomplish. So no matter what your age, if you quit dreaming, you quit living. Amen. You might as well just go ahead and decide to serve God until your last breath, because that's what God expects of us. Can we say amen right there? For some, it may be moving forward, like in here in Joshua chapter 1. For some, moving forward isn't so easy. Others will refuse. But for those who willingly accept the challenge that God puts before them, great things can and great things will happen. I remember when I was in college and I got out of college or I got out of the state university and God called me to preach. Man, couldn't even spell the word. Could not think hardly at all about me behind the pulpit like this at all. I remember going to my pastor and preaching, telling Brother Halcom, God called me to preach, and he just kind of looked at me. I don't know if he was just flabbergasted or maybe he thought he was having a bad dream. I remember when I went to college and met my wife, and the first time she ever went to church with me, Brother Halcombe let me, me and another fellow, we were preaching on a Sunday night. We both got 5 minutes. Surely 5 minutes is more than enough. I had enough messages and notes and outlines for good night 6 weeks. I barely got through all 6 weeks in 5 minutes. And my wife looks at her best friend. Her name was Carla. She looks at her best friend. I found out later, and she says, I got to listen to this the rest of my life. Well, she's done a pretty good job at it. And each as I began to grow in the Lord, I began to grow in my life, began to grow in my spiritual walk, and began to grow in my ministry life, and seeing things happen that what God would allow, the more I walk with the Lord, the more challenges that we faced and the more challenges that we saw God complete. Great things will happen. God told Joshua and Israel in verse 3, notice what he says. He says in Moses, verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Every place that the sole of your foot. In other words, the promises of God have no boundaries. Have no boundaries whatsoever. Did you notice the wording? God had not changed His commitment to Moses, nor did He change His commitment to Israel. And the same promise that Moses had is the same promise that Joshua had. God was going to fulfill through Joshua what He had promised to Moses. I would assume this past year you as a church have probably prayed more regarding the will of God for your ministry here than you've had in quite some time. When you're thinking about building, putting in a new auditorium and all the various things that go along with it, and what a beautiful piece of property you have that way, and saw your building, walked through it, and I remember walking through it when the walls were down and all of that, and now the walls are up, and I don't know what you do with it now. I have no idea what you do with it. But I would assume you got, there was probably some fear and trembling with some things. And then the bill to consider another building and knowing what you may, or I have no idea what, your pastor has in store. We've not talked about it and I've not asked. And so I'm assuming he's got a vision of some sort right here of what God wants. And you folks just have faithfully followed him. But I would imagine just like they were following Moses, as they were following Joshua, there's a little intrepidation there, a little nervousness and so on and so forth of just what does God have in store? What's next? Just what is next? In verses 12 through 18, he says this, and to the Reubenites and to the Gadites and the half of the tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses was the servant of the Lord commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. Your wives and your little ones, your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of Jordan, but ye shall pass before your brethren, armed all the mighty men of valor unto help them, until the Lord had given your brethren rest as he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth you. Then ye shall return into the land your possession, enjoy it, which Moses and the Lord's servant gave you on this side of Jordan toward the rising. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us we will do. Now that was a lot of words, of which many of them took back later. As a matter of fact, at the end of Joshua chapter 24, he tells them, he says, hey, you need to make up your mind. You're going to serve the gods on the other side. You're going to serve the gods here. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. He had to remind them toward the end of this great book. When change comes, there are always two groups of people. Those who accept it as God's continued leadership, and those who don't. There's only two groups of people. You can't be in the middle. There's only one thing in the middle of a road that's a yellow line and a dead skunk. You say amen right there, won't hurt anybody. Amen. Those who accept it as God's continued leadership, and then those who don't. Those who do go forward and experience the blessings of God. Those who don't find themselves rebelling against God's design for their own personal lives and end up bitter and dying and left behind. The results of these groups, however, are the same. They both would produce fruit. The principle of sowing and reaping is universal, both spiritually and both naturally. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit of the Spirit shall reap life everlasting. It's a universal law. It's just a universal law. The saved and the unsaved. God gives us the privilege of sowing the seed in our lives. But He has already determined the fruit of which comes after the sowing. You see, we plant the seed, but the fruit is already predetermined. You plant right, you get right. You plant holiness, you get holiness. You plant sin, you get sin. Right? Right. It's still the same. It hasn't changed at all. You know, we don't plant apple trees and get pear trees. We plant apple trees and get apple trees. Now, I don't know what kind of apple it might be, but you get an apple tree, you see. And so with the children of Israel, here they are in a brand new day, a brand new opportunity, an opportunity that they can continue to go forward. And here we are, Grace Baptist Church tonight, the last Wednesday night of 2022. And this coming Sunday, you get to start fresh in a brand new year with the same God of the Bible. So God is saying to Joshua and the people, a new day is upon you. May I say to you, church, that there is a new day upon you coming up. Just a matter of a few hours on a Sunday morning, you'll get up and you'll come to Sunday school and you'll be in church or possibly Sunday night. I don't know what your schedule is, but I'm saying this, that God hadn't changed. God hadn't changed. God hadn't changed whatsoever. And with this in mind, may I give you four principles about this outcome that I can pull out of this portion of Scripture tonight that will bring forth, I believe, God's blessings upon your church, God's blessings upon your family as you enter into a brand new day. Brother Henderson, your son is going to England, right? Yeah, I texted him and told him we would take him on for support while he's there. So I look forward to hearing results of people getting saved. That'd be a blessing. Can you imagine a young man now? He's going to leave the United States. He's going to go halfway around the world. And I've been to England. They're nice people, but they're weird. they eat something over there called blood pudding. Only vampires eat blood. Amen. Yeah. I remember we were over there, my wife and I were over there on a mission trip, and I was preaching a family conference over there for a missionary. And we were sitting on the train, and this little lady looked at me, and she's an elderly lady. She says, you're a pastor, aren't you? I said, yes, ma'am, I am. She says, you're not from here. I said, no, ma'am, I'm not. And we got talking a few minutes, and I asked her, I said, are you saved? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? And she says, yes, sir. She said, I'm 94, and I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior when I was 9. And she gave me her testimony, and she walked at age 94. She was walking to church at 94. And she said she started crying. She started coming, tears started coming down her cheek. And she said to me, she says, my pastor doesn't preach the gospel any longer. That's what she told me. She was a member of St. John the Baptist Church. And she said to me, my preacher doesn't preach the gospel any longer. And I asked her, Brother Henderson, I said, ma'am, is there another church that you can go to? She says, there's no place around for me to go. And she made the statement, she asked me the question, she says, have you ever heard of Charles Spurgeon? I said, yes, ma'am, a few times. And she said, the church I attend, she says, the tabernacle built the pulpit for my pastor years and years ago. And of course, he'd passed away years ago because the St. John the Baptist Church was started out of the tabernacle there in England. And Charles Spurgeon had the pulpit made for the church for their first Sunday. And a man who doesn't believe the Bible preaches behind a pulpit that was sanctified for the Word of God. Boy, times have changed, hasn't it? And if we're not careful, church, we can allow those things to happen right here in America where the world is changing, our America is changing. We must continue on with the things of God. And as Joshua, God told Moses, and as God told Joshua, he says, things haven't changed at all. You still have the same God. Still have the same God. God, number one, God's plan never changed. When Moses took aside and Joshua came on the scene, God's plan never changed. In the book of Genesis, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country. He says, and from the kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee, and I will make thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. God's mandate that he gave Abraham hadn't changed at all the way down to Moses and now to Joshua. That hadn't changed. He gave that mandate from generation to generation to generation to generation. And I don't know the age of the church here. I don't know. I don't even know how many pastors you had. I have no idea. But I know this. God's mandate has never changed for this church. Not one time. Hadn't changed. God's mandate to Abraham was clear. God's mandate to Moses was clear. God's mandate to Joshua was clear. God's method of movement never changed. Never changed. In verses 5 and 6 of this great chapter of the Bible, he says, there shall not any be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. And as I was with Moses, he says, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage unto this people. Thou shalt divide for inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. In verse 9 of this same chapter, he says, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage? You see, God says, my method hadn't changed either. My mandate hasn't changed. My method hasn't changed. Abraham just packed up and left. Moses hesitated but submitted. Joshua said, told the children of Israel, he says, I'm going forward with you, without you. I'm going to obey God. Now, there may be some folks in your life that won't go forward with you. But that doesn't change the fact that you still got to go forward. You got to serve God regardless of what anybody else does or says. You got to honor the Lord in your life regardless of what anybody else does or doesn't do. You and I must stand before a holy God one day, and we must stand before the Lord and be able to hear those wonderful words, well done, thy good and faithful servant. God's mandate has not changed to us at all. It's the same. Just because the world is going backward doesn't mean that we as Christians don't go forward. You see. Joshua said, I'm going forward. So you make up your mind. Basically what he was telling him in Joshua 24. Come and live or stay and die. You have a choice. You're going into a new year. You can come along or you can stay behind. I hope you decide to come on with the whole church. Can you say amen right there? You just keep on moving forward. Listen, you'll die staying back, but you'll live going forward. Joshua's message to some was a life sentence. For some, it was a death sentence. Not only God's plan never changed, but may I remind you that God's promises never fail. Look at you in verses 3 and 4, this same chapter. He says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you as I said unto Moses. He says, I gave it to Moses, I'm going to give it to you. I gave it to Abraham. I gave it others. I just passed it down from generation to generation. Then he even gave the boundaries for the wilderness of this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to a great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your God. Listen, I don't know whether there's probably some things in of 2022 that you wish that God had accomplished that he did not accomplish, but that does not mean in your life that God will not accomplish it in 2023. It's called God's perfect timing. God's perfect timing. Moses wanted to cross over, but he didn't get to. God's perfect timing. God's promises are to be taken personal. Notice the two words, your foot. He's talking to it about it. He's talking to an entire nation. Your foot. You cannot live on the promises of God given to others. You must make them your own. Our girls, some of you follow us on follow me on Facebook, and our girls got together. They have one goal in life, and that goal is to make their father cry. And they're really, because I'm not a crier as a rule. I'm just not that type of person. But they, I guess a little bit older, the little older I've gotten, a little bit more emotional I've gotten, Brother Ball. And, but they put together this video thing, you know. I don't know if y'all seen it or not. And, boy, I was sitting in the living room with John and Beth and listening to it. And I'm really mad at my son-in-law. He didn't give me a heads up. And, we were sitting there and just watching that and watching, listening to girls sing and so on and so forth. And the song that they were singing where the Bible says that they made it their own. You see, everything about God's promises must be made your own. Salvation must be for you. You know, nobody ever get to heaven on mom and daddy's shirt tail or coat tail or anything along that line, you see. Salvation has got to be yours. The promises of God have got to become yours. Got to become yours. This next year, I don't know, find just something in the Bible that you can rely on and hang on to and grab a hold of and put it in your Bible and just read it every day. Get the promises of God in your life and make them your own. Make them your own. Live or die. Live or die. I'm going to live on the promises of God. God promised it. An old preacher by the name of Dr. Lee Robertson, most of you know who I'm talking about probably. Dr. Robertson was one of our dearest friends, and our girls got to grow up around him. And Dr. Robertson pastored the same church for 46 and a half years. And for 40 of those years, Dr. Robertson never took a salary from Highland Park Baptist Church for 40 years. He lived by faith and trusted God by faith. And I don't have that much faith. He just trusted God by faith. Trusted God by faith. Every time he'd come, we had him for 10 years, for twice a year for 10 years. And every time he came, he preached on faith, trusting God by faith, living by faith, and giving by faith, and praying by faith, and joyfully living by faith in God. May I say to you this morning, this evening, whatever you do, the promises of God have not changed. They're still the same, and they're yours if you'll just take them and adhere to them and say, oh God, tonight I'm going to trust you by faith. They may not be fulfilled today, but they might be fulfilled tomorrow. God's promises never fail. God's promises are immeasurable. He says everywhere, every place, everywhere. God's promises produce a unique awareness of His presence. Look in verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. There's something about claiming the promises of God and seeing those promises fulfilled in your life. It causes your relationship with God to grow closer. And you begin to have that unique, unique relationship. Listen, let me ask you something tonight. Don't answer it out loud. Do you love God more now at the end of this year than you did at the first of this year? Do you trust Him more tonight than you did the first of the year? Do you believe Him as much and if not more now than you did the first of the year? What causes you to question God's authority and God's promises in your life? Get that doubt out. Listen, don't live in doubt. Don't live in doubt. Don't die to doubt. Don't die to doubt. Trust God. Faith, 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 faith never, never believes doubt. Oh, the promises of God. The promises of God. I don't know what you want. I don't know what you want to accomplish this year in your personal life. May I remind you, Jesus said, God says, I will not leave thee nor forsake thee. You ought to make a list of some things you'd like to accomplish. Make a list. Number one, number two, number three, number four. Get down there. One, two, three, all the way down to 10 or more. What do you want to accomplish for God this next year? And every time God allows you, get you a Bible verse for it. And every time God allows you to accomplish it, check it off. Check, 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 check. And tell me at the end of 2023, if the Lord hadn't come, that we'd not say God is still good. And He's still a God of promises. He's still a God of promises. I will not forsake thee. I'll not cast you off. I'll not leave you behind. And then may I remind us tonight, God's Word is still the same. God's Word is still the same. Look in verse 8. He says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, for thou shalt meditate there day and night, and thou mayest deserve to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have what? What's next two words, class? Good success. He didn't just say success. He said good success. He didn't say you'll just have success. He says you'll enjoy the success. He doesn't want you to just have abundant life. He wants you to have it more abundantly. He doesn't want you just to like life. He wants you to love life. He wants you not just to love the Lord. He wants you to love Him with all your strength, all your soul, and all your might. You see, it's that type of relationship with God that the Word of God brings into your life. As you rely, may I challenge you this year, maybe the beginning of this year, to maybe read your Bible, seek to read your Bible through. Read it. Turn the TV off a little while. Spend time reading the Word of God. Emphasize the Bible in your home. If you don't have devotions in your house, you and your wife, sit down and pray together. Read the Bible together. Read the Bible with your children. Have prayer together. And watch God do something unique and special in your life. You say, I don't know how to do that. You ought to flood your preacher's office on Monday so he can teach you how to have personal devotions in your home. Oh, how you ought to do that. Ought to do it. Get in the Word of God. Husbands, lead your wives in family devotions. And mama, everybody sits around and so on. And you spend some time in prayer and you carry on about with God's Word. And each of you just relying upon what God is doing. And talk about what the Bible does in your life. How it changes your life. Our relationship to His Word is still the same. We are to have an intimate relationship with Him and through His Word. He says, it shall not depart out of thy mouth. He says, and meditate on it day and night. The psalmist says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sinneth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Our obedience to God's Word should still be the same. Just because we're going into a new year doesn't mean we have to back off. We have to move forward. Everything about the Christian life is about moving forward. It's never about moving backwards. It's always about moving forward. He says, observe it, mark it, to regard it, to protect it in our lives. Observe it. God's Word is still the same. Make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success, he says. Our spiritual prosperity and success is related to our relationship with the Word of God. How many want to be successful in your spiritual life. Can I see your hand? You want to be successful? You'll never be successful apart from the Word of God. Ever. Ever. You want to be successful? Get your nose in the book. Get your heart in the book. Walk in the book. And let the book walk in you. Amen. Oh, get in the book. Get in the book. Get in the book. And let the Word of God permeate your life. Permeate your life. What will happen? Well, you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Thank God for his word. And then let me just say this. Obedience is still the will of God. God never gives you and I permission to disobey. I see all these small children around here. I would imagine they got up in the morning and said, hey, Daddy, hey, Mama, would it be all right if I just lived like a heathen today? It'd be all right if I just lived like the devil today. Can I just go ahead and cuss and swear and carry on like I want to do? Just for the day, would you give me permission just to do that? I think probably we'd have probably kids on the wall. Because you're not going to let that happen, are you? Yeah, come on, talk to me now. Maybe some of you allow that. I don't know. I have no idea. You pretty got pretty quiet there for a moment on me. Yeah, I don't think you'd let that. I don't think you'd let that happen. I think you might just knock them in the next week. In Jesus' name, of course. You know. I don't think you'd let that happen. I think you teach your children to obey day and day, each day, again and again. And obedience has to not just be taught once, it has to be taught on a regular basis. Because the more they obey, the more they can accomplish, the more they accomplish, the more they can do, the more that they can do, the more they can live for the Lord. And as they're taught to obey further and further and further, you just never know what God might do in their life. That's why you keep teaching them to obey. You don't wait, you don't push off and say, well, I'm just gonna let them have their time tonight. No, you don't do that. At least you shouldn't do that. Yeah. Shouldn't do that. And that's not the way God works in our life either. God's always got the pressure on obedience. Can you say amen right there? God's always got his thumb on the pressure of obedience. He's called the Holy Spirit. And each time that you begin to back away just a little bit, the Holy Spirit puts a little bit of pressure on. And the further you walk, he puts a little bit more pressure on, a little bit more. Don't get afraid of that. Don't be afraid of that. Don't get mad at it. That's God loving you enough to bring you back into his fold. And that's what God desires to do. So if you're dealing with conviction in your heart, boy, you ought to just say, Lord, I give up. I quit. Here's a white flag of surrender tonight. And I want 2023. To be the best year of my spiritual life. I don't know. I just know there is a new day dawning. That's all I know. I don't know what God has for us. I don't know what he wants to accomplish in your life. But there's a reward for obedience. There's the actions of obedience. Submission to the authority that God has laid out in his word for you. There's a new day coming. It's just right around the corner. Just right around the corner. And if you read the rest of this book, you will find many battles that they will fight. You will find many that they will win. And you will also find many that they will lose. But it's not the battles that Joshua was overly concerned about. It was the war at the end of the book that he was most concerned about. You may lose some battles, but that doesn't mean you have to lose the war in your life. There's a new day coming. Are you ready for it? Are you prepared for it? Are you willing to walk through it? Are you willing to walk in it? Joshua, I'm going home. Well, what are we going to do? What am I going to do, Moses? Well, what we do for 40 years in the wilderness? Well, we What am I going to do? Same thing I did. God hadn't changed. His word hadn't changed. His methods hadn't changed. His motive hadn't changed. And by the way, church, here we are in 2022, going in 23. God hadn't changed. Amen. I am the Lord thy God. I change not. Whatever you do, trusting, obeying, live in His Word. Obey His Word. And you'll see God do something special and unique in your life. And whatever comes, stay faithful. Stay faithful. You know, I'm going to close here. I believe this with all my heart. I've pastored long enough. I've been in ministry over 40 years. I've pastored long enough and been in the ministry long enough to see people give up right when God was getting ready to do something special. May that not be said of you. May that not be said of you. Whatever you do, don't quit. You have every head bowed and every eye closed. You've done so well tonight. You've listened so well. I love preaching here. I enjoy preaching here. I really do. I enjoy the fellowship that I have. I guess I've known Brother Denny Henderson. I can't tell you how long I've known him. For a long, long time, we've known each other. I just enjoy. I enjoy coming here. I really do. My wife and I, not just in this, even if our children were here, I think I'd come visit, just sit and listen to preaching. I want to see God do something special and unique for you and your life and for your ministry this next year. How many would say this morning, this evening, rather, first of all, before we go into invitation?